are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Hurricane Dorian destroys the Bahamas, now headed to Florida as Trump four-putts. New UN report, U.S. may be complicit in Yemeni's war crimes. Saudi Arabia kills more, and renewed calls in the Senate to end our funding. Meanwhile, across the pond, Boris Johnson loses the majority in Parliament, and I have no idea what any of it means. None of it. Meanwhile, in the wake of yet another shooting, mass shooting, 7 dead, 21 injured, Texas loosens its gun laws. And the September debate will happen over one night. It is now a three-way race. As Warren gains some momentum, Bernie introduces a medical debt relief plan, and Joe Biden makes up stories in descending into madness. Meanwhile, Trump's assaults on government functions continue. Monsanto works with Republicans to curb our regulatory agencies and to attack scientists over glyphosate. Meanwhile, France tries to revive the Iran nuke deal. Trump locks up asylum cases and softens on deporting the desperately ill. Mass protests continue in Hong Kong, and Modi's oppression of Kashmir may get us all blown up. Lastly, 9 months later, Democrats launch an inquiry into the Trump campaign's hush money payments. All this and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are live. Welcome. Thank you all for waiting for us to return. We had, I got a lot of tweets and it was rough out there. We had, the Letter Hack, is that the name of the podcast guy who does the cartoons? Is it, he did a couple of funny cartoons in our absence that I appreciated. We should have pulled those. Maybe we'll show them tomorrow. Just want to also give a shout out to, Bender's dad. He had a heart attack, had angioplasty, apparently is doing well. I'm going to give him one of these. Quick recovery, hopefully, and hope he's feeling better. Folks, thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed the vacation shows. It appears that many of you did, and I'm glad you it's the Letter Hack is the name of the check out the Letter Hack's Twitter feed, and you will see some pretty amazing cartoons with a quick turnaround. It's kind of like a factory, I feel, of people who are drawing those things. But appreciate your checking out the show in our absence, and glad you could join us now. Hope your Labor Day weekend was good. Let me get this right out of the way with what's going on in Great Britain. You know, I tried not to follow the news over the course of vacation. I can't totally help myself in those situations. And I found, particularly when it came to what's going on in England, to be it's the functional equivalent of like a money pit, like buying a house that is in incredible disrepair, and you start to do the demo and you pull off the drywall, and then you're like, oh no.
Imagine how they feel.
We've got mold. Now I need mold remediation. And yeah, I tried to follow what was going on. Were they going to suspend Parliament for just a couple of days so that he can get a no deal Brexit? Or then actually what he really wanted was his gambit to suspend Parliament to fail so that he'd go around and say that, well, we tried to get the no deal Brexit, but we couldn't. And then it appears that he's lost support. Look, let me just say this. Get a constitution. Can we just clear this up?
It's not a bad idea.
Just, you got to write down directions. You need directions. That's all.
And then you go, and then he will go to His Majesty's Privy Council.
Leave the House of Lords out of it, though.
Leave the House of Lords out.
But in all honesty,
then if the leader of the Liberal Dems winks, then Jeremy Corbyn will have approximately 25 minutes to enter the room. Then the coalition will collapse. However, if Boris Johnson meets with the Queen at not 0.42 hours, then the Parliament stays in session for 4 days. However, they cannot pass a single piece of legislation. It's really not that complicated. Please cover this more on the program.
Well, that's the thing, is that I desperately want to be able to cover this. It is obviously of huge import and has the potential to be of huge import for decades to come.
Can I say something?
And for the life of me, I can't understand any of it. I don't know what's going on anymore. I can't figure it out.
I think this is part of the problem.
I get deeper in and I get lost and I don't know where I am, and then I get nervous.
I think this is part of the problem, which is that, and we will cover it certainly, and it does matter. But I think part of what's happening in the UK is grappling with the psychology that it really actually doesn't matter as much as they want it to for the world.
Well,
like a big part of, I mean, look, it's not good, but you're talking about going from being a globe-spanning, you know, empire to, frankly, and if Brexit does happen in a no-deal fashion, a peripheral mid-rank city state off of Europe that will not have much global influence at all.
Well, then the question becomes what follows in its wake. You know, what lessons are drawn from others is as to the import of this.
And this one might actually be a negative lesson. This one might actually be maybe we don't want to follow that particular trend.
It's possible.
This doesn't look that hot.
No. But we will, you know, we'll endeavor to cover it to the extent that we can. But I just don't want to get out there and start talking about something that I, you know, have just very little grasp on. Now, I'm willing to say that up front and say that I'm not going to get up on a stage or in front of a microphone and talk about something I know very little about. Apparently, the odds-on favorite for our next Democratic nominee, he has no such compunction. Now, this is really, really stunning. And there was a Monmouth poll that came out maybe last week that showed Biden, Warren, and Sanders effectively tied at around 19-20%. I think Monmouth itself backed off this poll, said it was an outlier. And by all accounts, it appears to be an outlier. I still stand by my prediction that within 2 months, Joe Biden will be third in the polls. We'll see. I'll be honest with you, I'm getting a little nervous about that one. But I'm getting more nervous about the idea that this guy could enter into the general election with a party that sees him as weakened before he even gets there, that there is no fired up Joe Biden constituency and that he will be unable to gain any momentum. And this isn't just about gaffes, folks. I mean, what this is not a gaffe. I don't even know what to call it. Was it a gaffe when he basically borrowed Neil Kinnock's story, life story, and plagiarized it? I don't know. But I don't even know how to characterize this.
Yeah, it was a gaffe.
In his response.
Total gaffe.
Okay, here it is. He's speaking in New Hampshire, and this is a pretty dramatic talk, speech he's giving, but here it is. Do we have the whole thing uncut? Wait, don't we have the clip uncut, or is it just this? Oh, it's just in this news pack. All right, well, let's just watch it. This is a news clip from NBC reporting this.
It's a moving war story that Joe Biden has told before.
This guy climbed down a ravine, carried this guy up on his back under fire.
That he was in Afghanistan as vice president when he was asked to pin a silver star on a heroic Navy captain.
I said, sir, I don't want the damn thing. Do not pin it on me, sir. Please, sir, do not do that. He died. He died.
But according to the Washington Post, almost every detail of that story he told Friday appears to be incorrect. That he was conflating elements from multiple actual events, including when he pinned a bronze star on this Army staff sergeant, Chad Workman. Ultimately, the Post reports Biden got the time period, the location, the heroic act, the type of medal, the military branch, and the rank of the recipient wrong, as well as his own role in the ceremony.
Pause. What was left?
I'm a compulsive liar, and I'm losing my faculties.
That a guy rejected a medal, apparently.
Right. Here, we'll continue.
God's truth, my word is a Biden.
Asked tonight God's if he truth, my word is a stories, Biden. Told-
yeah, let's go back a little bit, because I sort of think that when you say the God's truth and you are, I mean, I don't know what the answer is here. Is he confused that he's conflating these three different stories, or he's decided to sort of like, you know, take some fiction with it, or I don't know what.
Got the time period, the location, the heroic act, the type of medal, the military branch, and the rank of the recipient wrong, as well as his own role in the ceremony.
And it's the God's truth. My word is a Biden.
Asked tonight if he conflated multiple stories, Biden told a South Carolina newspaper, no, I don't think so. The central point is it was absolutely accurate what I said. He refused the medal.
Right. And I guess he addressed this more, you know, after the fact. He doesn't think that this is it's important. I mean, let's just hear his explanation.
The point about a generation that has nothing to do with the judgment of whether or not you send troops to war, the judgment of whether you bring someone home, the judgment of whether or not you decide on a health care policy.
Not
you
judgment,
understand
Mr.
that.
No, not judgment, but details. Because that's something I've heard from some voters, maybe not at your events, but
well,
details.
No, but the details are irrelevant in terms of decision making. If, in fact, I forget that it was Rodriguez, of all the times I've been in and out of Afghanistan and Iraq and Bosnia and Kosovo as much as anybody, except maybe my deceased friend John McCain and maybe Lindsey Graham.
All right. So there he is. Details are not irrelevant when it comes to judgment, making these important decisions. Look, here's the problem. If you are someone who believes, like I am, that Donald Trump must be defeated, to the extent that, you know, if it's Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. Of course, I'm not even going to think about it. In fact, I'm probably going to try not to think about it. But the problem is that in a general election, stories that say he got the time wrong, the place wrong, the rank wrong, the military service wrong, his role in the ceremony wrong, he got it all wrong. Stories that say that are going to be a liability, regardless of what your perspective is. And what it's going to do is it's going to, it's going to depress turnout.
The only thing this guy remembers clearly is all the Republicans he's friends with.
Yeah, well, he definitely wanted to push that. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence that that whole notion, him appealing to the John McCain, is just simply not going to work. It didn't work last time. And there's no reason to believe that someone's going to take Joe Biden's word for it as to whether Donald Trump is a good guy or a bad guy. This is a combination of when he's told this story in this way for over 3 years, apparently.
A four-star to pin a silver medal on a young captain. I have been asked in a forward operating base in the middle of a godforsaken nowhere in the upper Konar Valley in Afghanistan to pin a silver star on a young, coincidentally, Navy captain in what they call a FOB, a forward operating base. I pinned medals on silver stars on soldiers up in the upper Konar Valley in the middle of a firestorm the poor guys have gone through. Young Navy captain, Navy, up in the mountains in the Konar Valley in Afghanistan.
Who had pulled a badly wounded gunner to safety, returning fire to repel the enemy, and then keeping his buddy alive until medevac arrived.
Who had pulled someone out of a burning Humvee, risking his life. One of his buddies got shot, fell down a ravine about 60 feet.
This guy climbed down the ravine. Now the ravine thing.
Carried this guy up on his back under fire. He had gone down a ravine to rescue one of his men who had been shot, brought him back under hail of gunfire, was wounded, but the young man died.
I know it sounds a little corny, but I don't think there was a dry eye in the house.
And the general wanted me to pin the silver star.
All right, we don't need to. I mean, look, over the years, the story has evolved.
This is sort of like you tell Bob's Burgers story.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is less, you know, like the problem is just simply that there is just a tremendous amount of risk when it comes to Joe Biden. And in many respects, put away all the other issues that people had with Hillary Clinton, put away all of the arguments that people make about her strategy, about James Comey, about, all of it. Put that aside for a moment. One of the things that made, that put pressure on Clinton to not make any other mistakes or to not have any other things impact her campaign was the fact that there was a certain amount of baggage that she came in with that was not a function of anything other than a 30-year campaign by Republicans to, basically have a cottage industry against her. And Joe Biden is going to come in with a similar set of baggage that I think is highly problematic. So, I don't know. It's a little bit scary.
I actually think, and maybe we want to dismiss this, but I think false memory is a really powerful thing that we don't really understand. And I think he's genuinely like conflating all these things together in his mind.
There's no doubt. I think that's true. I do think that's true. The problem is that when you have a candidate who is running on pablum, okay, this is not a situation where, like, you know, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they're not getting up there and telling homespun stories about themselves, and their candidacy is not a function of that. Joe Biden is not running on policy, right? Joe Biden is running on character. Joe Biden, and this is the same, I mean, this is exactly the same shit we were saying about Hillary Clinton, that he wants to run on his CV. In this instance, it's even a narrower CV. Insofar as it's about his character and his morals, and you can trust me. And the problem with that is that you become susceptible to stuff like this. Elizabeth Warren is not running on that. Bernie Sanders is not running on that. They're running on proposals. They're running on prescriptions for the country. Of course, they're running against Donald Trump. But when you rely on just sort of this, you know, this more ethereal stuff, this character stuff, when you do stuff like this, it inhibits your sales pitch. And it you know, and if there is anything, if there is any fight that Donald Trump can compete in, it's on this territory. He cannot compete on questions of policy.
Trump already said he's losing his fastball.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so dangerous about...
If it's two grouchy old men losing it, Trump is going to be pretty adroit at that game.
It's not even a question of him being that adroit. It's the idea of like, and this is what this was expressed to me about what was going on in Wisconsin when they saw what was happening there. It was just a race to see who could do worse.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's in the sense that he will motivate his people no matter what, talking his nonsense. Joe Biden is not necessarily going
to
do that.
People have to remember in 2018, the Republicans also had, I think, a record-breaking turnout. It just so happens that the Democrats had an even greater record-breaking turnout. Anyways, folks, in this golden age of television and podcasts, I think we all know the value of a truly compelling narrative. Cue Hunt a Killer. It's the murder mystery box that immerses you in an ongoing experience. With every delivery or, you know, episode, as you could call it, you're going to dive deeper into what it's like to being a detective. You sift through piles of documents, you have evidence, case files, until you crack the case.
Who did it?
Cigarettes, coffee.
Oh, that's cool.
Like a bottle of booze in your drawer. Yeah. Well, I do it with Milo, so I don't do that. But instead of staring at a screen, you can build an investigation board with friends or an online community helping each other through every challenge. Plus, parts of the proceeds for every box goes to the Cold Case Foundation to help fund cold case investigations. We got a bulletin board in our apartment. We put up the stuff that comes in the box. You get pictures, you get clues, you get reports, and it's fun. And I got to say, the thing that I really like about it is not on an iPad, not on a computer. You can go online with the thing, but it's not, you don't need to. You're just sitting there, you're talking. Right now, for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/majority for 20% off your first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so hard to take advantage of this offer. That's huntakiller.com/majority for 20% off your first box, huntakiller.com/majority. All right, let's go into this proposal that Bernie Sanders unveiled, which is, I mean, both just, I think, great policy, but it's also going to be interesting politics, in which I think we will see more of. Like I said earlier, the debate on September 12th, it's going to be on Thursday, September 12th. There's only 10 people in it, only. And but there's just going to be one debate. So I don't have it right in front of me as to who made it, but you can imagine who did and who didn't. Castro will be there. Obviously, Warren, Sanders, and Biden. Klobuchar. Yang, you will have Booker and Harris and Beto O'Rourke.
Buttigieg.
And Buttigieg. And am I missing one? Maybe I'm missing one, but no Delaney, no those other people, no Gabbard. And so I think, you know, to a certain extent, this is, we need to start having more of these smaller debates, I think, because it's really the only way. I mean, the Democrats need to examine their candidates. And the only way that you can do that is to, you know, 25 people. It's very difficult to do. So here it is, the proposal that Sanders here, let's play this. This is his introduction. He teased this, I guess this is a couple of days ago, and then more details are starting to trickle out.
In another piece of legislation that we're going to be offering, we will eliminate medical debt in this country. I mean, I just stop and think for a second Why should people be placed in financial duress? For what crime did you commit? You had a serious illness? All right. That is not what this country should be about.
We still have something like 50% of all personal bankruptcies are either in a large part or a significant part due to medical expenses. That's just unbelievable. And you can imagine that the stress of being in bankruptcy is also not going to help you get better physically. You can also imagine that having physical and medical ailments are going to make it that hard, much harder for you to get out of bankruptcy. So under Sanders' plan, the government would negotiate and pay off past due medical bills that have been reported to credit agencies. It would repeal some elements, and this is an important part. Now, this is all told, they think it is going to end up canceling about $81 billion in existing past due medical debt. So if you're current with your medical debt, it will not pay it off. Now, that dynamic is a little bit tricky. Frankly, sort of a similar dynamic we saw with HAMP, although they didn't, that was the home mortgage adjustment program. There was a lot of other problems with that. But for now, this is, I think, a good first step. What we really need to do is get to a place where you cannot create debt by having a medical problem. It would also repeal some elements of the 2005 bankruptcy reform bill and allow other existing and future medical debt to be discharged. The 2005 bankruptcy reform bill made it difficult to discharge this debt. In other words, in bankruptcy, you get protection from your creditors. And in some instances, you can just jettison that debt. But the 2005 bankruptcy bill imposed strict means tests and eliminated fundamental consumer protections for Americans. I mean, that bankruptcy bill is a disaster.
And it's caused so much harm.
And
so many people.
It is also, frankly, another function of inequality in this country. Donald Trump, perfect example of somebody who used bankruptcy laws multiple times. There's no means testing when you go to bankruptcy as a corporation. And of course, you're at arm's length anyways from your own assets. Only people unable to pay their medical debt would be granted relief. Those keeping up with their payments would have to continue to pay. The proposal would also create a new legal framework to ensure that no credit scores are negatively affected upon unpaid medical bills. So that's a big part of this as well. I mean, that's pretty exciting stuff. More stuff will come out. But $81 billion to get rid of the medical debt of people who are in financial distress. Were you aware that our defense budget went up by $100 billion last year?
Yes.
Did that materially affect you? So the idea that we couldn't afford to do this is just ridiculous. We could do this without batting an eye. If it wasn't reported, no one would know except for all of those millions of people who are suffering under medical debt. I mean, it's a no-brainer. And it's going to be interesting because Joe Biden was one of the main proponents of that 2005 bankruptcy bill. And just to give you a sense of what's going on with the Washington Post, this is sort of like a sidebar.
I don't know. It's a sidebar. I think their incredible dishonesty this cycle.
Something very bizarre. Going on with
it's
the Post.
Ideological, but it's also a bizarre personal hatred of Bernie Sanders.
I mean, look, I don't know what motivates it, but it's real. The dynamic is real. And, you know, this came up in the context of apparently, you know, like I think we mentioned this last week, that Neera Tanden, you know, accused me of doxing somebody because I retweeted a clip from an unnamed LinkedIn account of an anonymous tweeter who was featured on MSNBC News, making the case that Bernie Sanders in some way was, engaging in conspiracy theory about the Washington Post. It's all weird stuff. But here is, so the Washington Post did a fact check on Bernie Sanders' claim that 500,000 Americans are bankrupted by medical bills each year. And it gave him three Pinocchio-level liar, I guess out of four, for saying this. Sanders based his statement on research, and this is actually written by one of the researchers, that we and three colleagues published in the American Journal of Public Health. This guy named Warren Gunnels. And here's the author of the study. In our 2019 research, 37% of bankrupts very much agreed that medical bills were an important factor, while another 21.5% somewhat agreed. Many others cited lost wages due to illness. Overall, 2/3 cited illness-related bills, incomes, loss, or both. That's equivalent to 530,000 medical bankruptcies annually. But even the 530,000 figure is an underestimate of the number of people affected by medical bankruptcies. Most bankruptcies involve more than one person, an average about 2.7 people, often including a spouse, partner, and child. That means that the 750,000 bankruptcies last year involved more than 2 million people. Somehow, the Washington Post came up with three Pinocchios, according to this researcher. The claim that the Post relied on rests on an econometric study that found only a modest uptick in bankruptcy filings among persons hospitalized in California between 2003 and 2007. But that study appeared tailor-made to undercount medical bankruptcies.
And who funded that study, I wonder?
Yeah, as we and Elizabeth Warren noted in our response to it in the New England Journal of Medicine, it excluded most people who were frequently hospitalized, a group that's at high risk of medical bankruptcy. It assumed that anyone not hospitalized could not suffer medical bankruptcy, even though people who aren't hospitalized in the course of a year account for 4/5 of out-of-all-pocket medical bills, that no one is bankrupt by bills for a child's or partner's care, and that potentially bankrupting illnesses never start before the moment of hospitalization, an assumption contradicted by the study's own data. This is by David Himmelstein, Steffi Woodhandler, distinguished professors of public health at the City University of New York. So there's something very strange going on at the Washington Post, and I don't know what accounts for it, but it's real.
Well, I mean, there was the one that several weeks ago with the multiple jobs, people having to work multiple jobs to earn a living, where essentially the guy was like, well, it is literally millions of people, but that's not really that many. I mean, you know, I think they're showing the ball in a lot of things. And then you look at the Nate Silver phenomenon where, you know, his whole brand is built on being supposedly an objective arbiter of numbers, and he's just fixated on Sanders on Twitter.
It's very strange.
I mean, never trust people who say they're not ideological, period, is definitely something that I would pretty strongly assert. And I think that we're going to need to upgrade fact-checking. Fact-checking is going to need to be a very different thing because these people are useless at best.
Well, let's actually, do we have that clip of Jordan Peterson calling for a debate?
This is a good example of something to not fact check.
Right. We'll get to that in a moment. But here you have millions of Americans are forced to work 2 to 3 jobs just to survive, said Bernie Sanders. The Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that nearly 8 million people hold more than one job, but most of those extra jobs are part-time, not full-time.
It's like, if you're driving...
How could you work? How could you work
two full-time jobs? That's the metric. Look at the next line.
And the millions, that's in quotation, of people amount to just 5% of Americans with jobs. That means that 95% of workers are not working two or three jobs to survive, making this a misleading statement.
And the statement again. Read the statement.
Millions of Americans are forced to work two or three, but not tens of millions like he didn't say.
Right. Or a majority of Americans or most Americans. Right. I love that it's like there's all these different ways you could shift it for it to not work. But
well, there's
gave
been...
you the one exact framing where it's like, yep. 5 millions would be a formulation of millions, and
yeah,
there you go.
There's been Democrats that have been a little bit, cavalier with the way they cite that, and this make it seem like maybe 25% of people or something like that. But Bernie,
no, he said millions. Yeah. Well, it's also great too that it's like, yeah, it's just 5 million people that have to like drive an Uber 20 hours a week in addition to working a full time job in order to survive. Who cares?
Look, this is important to talk about because we're talking about. You know, today we're talking about the Washington Post fact-checking Bernie Sanders in just a bizarre way. We're talking about Joe Biden going out there and telling a, you know, semi-fabricated story and saying that the details are not important.
Don't give it to me.
Not important.
With genuine rage.
Yeah.
He inhabited that role well.
Yes.
It was definitely like Jill didn't bring him his Jell-O.
There are times where something can be completely fake, but also completely right. And apparently someone created an online Jordan Peterson text-to-speech program. It's been taken down, but
in a violation of free speech, I would say.
No kidding.
Satire is the foundation of
free
Western
text
civilization.
Listener Josh apparently created one, and let's hear it.
Good afternoon, Dave, Steve, and others in the I Do. Stop being cowards and debate Sam Sitter. It's not actually that hard.
And there you go. And all that is absolutely true, but that's also totally false. I want to make that absolutely clear. Jordan Peterson, not bright enough to make that comment.
He would be the type of guy that would call you a satyr.
Yeah. No, that's how he would pronounce it, though. Definitely. Let's play it one more time, just because it sounds so good.
Good afternoon, Dave, Steve, and others in the I Do. Stop being cowards and debate Sam Sitter. It's not actually that hard.
So there it is. Jordan Peterson's voice coming to my support. Not him, Wilfie. But this, you know, the other part about this that's not funny, this is going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. Remember, we saw that test of Adobe had come up with something like that where you can just text it, write it out, and it creates stuff like this? Is that what this was?
Yeah, this is text-to-speech compiled using his lectures and stuff like that.
Wow. All right. I mean, that's scary.
Well, what's really scary is it's a sort of singularity, because they say the singularity is when artificial intelligence gets smarter than man. And now we have a text-to-speech software that's telling more truth than the actual IDW.
Right. That's that's true. I mean, in a way, and not only are they telling more truth than the IDW, in a way, they are even more dark webby.
They're the dark web, dark web.
Yeah, because they're not even allowed to be online. The voice, the text-to-speech machines. But this is going to be a big problem. Because, I mean, just for example, if this existed with Donald Trump prior to the 2015 election, like that, what he said on that bus could have been a lot worse. Right? He comes off the bus, and with a little bit of tinkering, that's going to sound seamless. And you're going to hear secret audio from a speech that somebody gave in a room of fundraisers. And one of the things that
a lot of intentional disinfo will be put out as well.
One of the things that I think is becoming very clear with this era and Donald Trump is that there are two very substantial narratives of reality within our politics that are running parallel with each other. You know, that that woman who was at that Justin Amash town hall in Michigan who said, like, I thought the Mueller report completely vindicated, exonerated Donald Trump. I had no idea about this stuff. I'd never heard it. And I'm, you know, very, very, I'm a high information voter. And, well, I mean, she didn't say accurate information.
She was seeing Justin Amash live.
Yeah, I mean.
No, that's a really good distinction, though. I think that, you know, there's going to be tons of people that are high information. There was an old Annenberg study, and it's really old at this point. I think I looked at it in college, so probably like 10 years ago or something. But especially people that were at the time, I think it was probably like Fox or Limbaugh or something. They could identify things more than the average voter. Like, they would be more likely than not to know who, like, the Senate Majority Leader was or whatever. Factoids. But they were terrible in terms of organizing information. But they were, quote-unquote, high-information voters, but they were wrong on the merits of a lot of things. So those are not definitely not the same thing.
Right. And but I don't even want to get into, like, the what constitutes a high-information voter, but that the idea that there are two different realities that can coexist and that can have the same. I mean, it used to be multiple. That Fox needed to, that the way that the media would flow would be from the Drudge Report into Fox and then out to like ABC News. And that would be the whole game. But now they don't need these stories to migrate into the so-called mainstream or lamestream media, as John McCain's running mate would say.
She coined that?
I don't know if she coined it, but she gave it popularity.
Wow.
She gave it popularity. And now they don't need the lamestream media.
Mm-mm.
There's a whole nother, and I imagine this is going to get bigger, but we're going to see more stratification within media, but they're going to be able to concentrate. They stay on message a lot more than the rest of the media does. Because that's not what they perceive their job to be. And you can put out something fake and it can do its job. And it doesn't have to last long. You drop this thing in October 15th. You know, if I had a George W. Bush, I can't believe they don't realize I dropped out of National Guard and just show up. I was wasted. And I dropped that, October 15th, 2004. Maybe he's not president.
Oh, secret no, you audio got it tape. From Karl Rove. It's debunked the next day.
Right.
Not a good move. Not smart.
I got rat effed. All right. Look, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half, folks. You can join us by becoming a member. Simply go to jointhemajorityreport.com. Pennies a day, you can become a member of this program and support what we do here every day. Even on vacation, gave you new programming every single day. For those members, had the deep, deep archive, Brendan's picks. Good stuff, Brendan says. Sort of threw that off.
Oh, that's awesome.
Terrible. I didn't know you talked to Hannity.
What's that? Yeah, Hannity came in.
That was the
studio.
First thing I heard about when I came here, which is why I picked it during my interview.
It was not. It was Hannity. The first.
That's Sam's interview technique, as he tells you about his experience.
It was great.
Well, Brendan came in as like, I had to mute you. At my last job, I had to mute your finding you on YouTube. Because
so
I
like
looking
that.
For
Brendan
all the
came
same...
in and alpha'd you. He put you in check.
Hannity wanted Janine on his program because it was the biggest ratings get at the time. And so we invited Hannity on our show and he showed up at our studios. And, you know, Janine and I were just not skilled enough at that point to know what to do, frankly. But he actually barged into the studio. He was waiting. He came in early. Tried, you know, I mean, like you could, it was all, you could see the bones of what he was doing. He was trying to take over the whole room and And Jeanine at that time thought, like, you can convince these people. Like, she thought that she could convince Hannity because he would take her out to lunch, you know, and she thought that. And at the time, I decided that I had heard that Hannity was a Milanistic, like that he thought we were living in end times. And I kept asking him if he thought we were living in end times. I haven't listened to this and I haven't listened to it in 15 years. Did you listen to the whole thing, Brendan? Did you listen to it?
I listened to most of it.
I asked him like three times, right? Yeah. And he was getting mad. And Jeanine, we were not, you know, this was so early and we were not on the same page. We were not on the same page with what to do in this situation. And so she was like letting the air out of the tire. And I kept going at him and he was, you can't see it, but he was mad.
I like at the end that you said he stormed off.
I don't remember.
I wonder why.
Well, he's
so
like,
mad.
I didn't. He's like, I didn't storm off. I'm just still sitting here. But you said he did.
Oh, I did.
Deep fake. Yeah. Analog deep fake. Oh, but, he stormed off.
Yeah. You got to say that after he leaves, though.
He lost it.
Yeah, I was messing with him a little bit. But if you're a member, you can go and check that out. You can just sign up and you'll have access via the app to all of the archives and you'll be able to go dig into it. So, or just on your computer. Anyways, join themajorityreport.com. Also justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. Check out the morning quickie. We do it every morning. We're getting it out earlier and earlier. It's available. Just gives you the top stories of the day that you should keep an eye out for.
So you know.
Also, Hunt a Killer. It's the murder mystery box that immerses you in an ongoing experience. With every delivery or episode, you're going to dive deeper into what it's like to be a detective, sifting through piles of documents, evidence, and case files until you crack the case. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/majority. Get 20% off your first box. They only accept 200 members a day, so hurry. You take advantage of this offer now. That's huntakiller.com/majority for 20% off your first box. huntakiller.com/majority. Michael.
Yes, excited to be back tonight. Crystal Ball will be joining us. Why the professional class is lining up behind Elizabeth Warren, what that says about her candidacy. Artesia Balthorpe joins us. We're talking about the water crisis in Newark, Jay-Z and the NFL, and an illicit history of the RSS, the BJP, and how that leads to Kashmir today, the Indian dimension of the global authoritarian rise, and then all the other Brexit, Uruguay, a bunch of things we have to catch up on. For patrons, you can check out our Chicago show, which was great. You can listen to that. We had a really fun time, and we will be announcing our next date for our next live show tonight. Patreon.com/TMBS. Michael Brooks Show on YouTube, where we're about to cross our first 73,000 subscribers. So thanks.
Jamie is out, but check out the Antifada at patreon.com/theantifada. Matt.
Yeah, for Literary Hangover this Friday, we're doing part two of James Fenimore Cooper's The Pioneers, which is probably his best novel.
See you in the fun half.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
Who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Back, 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 back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back. Back.
Just as delicious as you can imagine.
The alpha males are back. Back, 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 back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back. Back, back, back.
Just want to degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back. Back.
I take all of it in my throat.
Alpha males are back. Back.
Almost says what?
The alpha males are back, 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 back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back, back, back.
I am a total cunt.
Can we bring back DJ the Anarchy song, please?
Yeah, or a couple of them. Just put them in rotation.
DJ Danner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough of a break.
That's fucking nonsense.
Hey, fuck! Fuck reminder!
I do not have Parkinson's.
And the alpha males are...
Psych! Fuck them! Fuck them!
Almost says what?
What?
Almost says what?
Hell of a lot of bank.
Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black African. And the alpha males are back. And the Africans are black.
Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keep it at 100. Cannot hustle.
Come on! Fuck them.
Things I do for the bigger game plan.
By the way, it's my birthday! Happy birthday to me, Jew boy!
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back. Africans are black. Alpha males are back. Africans are black.
Come on!
Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total
pussy.